The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped, but he was in that stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In Job 38:1, God speaks from the leopops. The Greek word leopops means whirlwind. And that word will appear twice in Job, twice in Mark, and only two other times in the entire Bible. Once in Luke, where it parallels. So that word, I think, is intended to tie these two stories together. In the book of Job, Job declares his innocence before God. And there's a lot more to it than that, but that's one of his primary things, that he is innocent. And now, from the whirlwind, God interrogates him. I read Job many years ago thinking I'd get the answer to the question, why do bad things happen to people? I was a little disappointed. Instead, what I found was the answer to the question we ask is God asks questions. And I'll sum up his question basically in these few words. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I may have miscounted, but I counted 60 questions that God proceeds to ask. You know how repetitive questions get old after a while? Well, 60 questions is way past the point where it gets old. And that's the point. In the end, Job concludes with the humble admission, "I am very small. I am very small. And I cannot know, and I cannot understand the depths of reality." The answer to the question, why is the world the way it is quite simply, if I told you, you still wouldn't understand. And it's not an excuse, it's the truth. But the story doesn't end there. It goes on with the complete restoration of Job. One of the reasons I don't think it's historical, because in real life, if someone kills all your kids and then gives you new kids, you don't say, okay, everything's balanced out. I mean, that's not how real life works, but it does in the story, because what the story is a type of resurrection. In the ancient understanding of what life meant, Job is restored. He has more than he had before, more kids than he had before, and his kids are more beautiful than before. And the point of this story is to point us to that Easter Sunday morning. So what the Bible does is it flips the tables on us. It's asked, will you, a suffering human being, a person disappointed by life, a person confused by innocent suffering, by the horrors you see around you, a person who's frustrated by the experiences of suffering you endure yourself, will you trust in God's faithful mercy to the very end of your struggle? That's God's answer to the question, why is the world the way it is? Will you trust me to the end? Now, I promise you, I have 2 hours of material here. This is the hardest sermon I think I've preached in a long time, because there's connections to Job, to Jonah, to Psalms, to Genesis, and today's gospel. That's easily a couple hours worth of material. But I will only summarize it with this. The message that all goes through all the stories is Jesus is in the boat as a sign of our salvation. Jesus is in the boat to answer the question about human suffering. It's Jesus in the boat. Now remember, the word salvation means lots of things in the original language. It means to help. It means to heal. It means to rescue. It means to win a victory. It means to have all things going right. It means to be set free physically. It means to be set free spiritually. And we, the church, Church Universal, and in church particular, are administrators. We minister this salvation to those in need, in every form of the word need, what it means. Every kind of need that you can imagine, our task is to administer God's salvation to those in need, which means we give financial aid to the poor, we give comfort and counsel to the troubled, we hold the hands of the sick and dying, we sit with those who have no one who cares to be with them, etc., etc., etc. That's what we do. We try to alleviate their suffering. We try to sit there with them. But here's what we never do in our ministry. When they come in the door looking for help, what we never do is say to them, well, why don't I move in with you? Why don't I live your life with you? Why don't I walk every step of every day as your partner in this? We don't do that. That's not what we do. But it's what God does in Jesus Christ. Because that's what the incarnation means. Jesus, God in Christ, does not stand outside to help us. Rather, he moves in with us to share our life. That's why he's in the boat. We would pay for someone to go out and rescue trawler, right? We would put them up for the night to dry them off. He's in the boat. And he's in our boat. He's one of us. Jesus is one of us. He faces the unknown. That story is very easy to miss point. It's dark, and they're going to the other side. Right? The other side is a technical expression for to leave what is familiar and to go into dangerous territory. He is worn out. Like, there's days I'm tired, there's days you're tired. Have you ever been so tired that you could sleep in a boat during a storm? A lot of us can't sleep through the night if the air conditioner's not just set right, you know? I'm never that tired. He is so tired that he's asleep in a wooden boat. And he's so deeply asleep that when a storm is kicking up, someone has to wake him up. He is human with us, yet he's human like us in a different kind of way. Because he loves and trusts God to his core. We talk about it. We kind of trust God. We kind of love God. He loves God to his core. He trusts God to his core such that when they wake him up, and it's not like Jesus, we're in trouble. It's, don't you care if we perish? It's that accusatory tone we all take with God. It's another version of Job. Don't you care that we perish? And in faith, he rebukes the wind. And if you know anything about Greek and the Bible and you've read the Gospels, you know when Jesus rebukes demons and rebukes the wind, that's a signal that there's more going on in the storm than just wind. And that's what I'm talking about. The creator. This is the nature gods and demons. He rebukes the demon. And he says, to fulfill Genesis 1, just like the beginning of creation, peace, which is shalom. Which is what happens when the kingdom is established. Be still. You and I, we are meant to be a human child of God, just like Jesus. That's what we're meant to be. We're not meant to say, well, I'm not like Jesus. I'm not like Jesus is actually the problem. The solution is to be like Jesus. We focus on the storms of life. In a typical conversation, are people more adept at pointing out what's wrong or what's right? 95 things take place, but that one thing that didn't go right, that's what I'm going to talk about. Because we want to focus on the storm, not the sun. We all do it. We all think of ourselves as the victims. Well, I'm sure I've done something wrong. Let me think. No, pretty much I'm the victim. Other people are the problem. We're like Job and the disciples. That's what Job and the disciples are. I'm the victim here. And we like to complain. But still, my dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we were made for more. We are crafted in his image and destined for glory. We're already his image, and what we're headed for is more glorious than anything we can ask or imagine. So glorious that the little things we gripe and complain about constantly are as nothing to the glory to be revealed. As nothing. We are crafted in his image and destined for glory, so let us each and everyone turn from fear and doubt, turn away from fear and doubt, and let us choose love and trust. Each day, let us choose to live as a child of God. For he has chosen us to be children of God.